American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are all kids at heart when it comes to baseball. Fantasy baseball is for the boys. Not really. Ladies, welcome, of course. And that is enough of me attempting to intro this. This, folks, is the Dynasty Outfielders episode brought to you by whatever ad Govier plays when I begin the top 10. That's going to be the ad break. If he's listened this far, 40 seconds, just like you, I thank you and look forward to that. So I got to write ad break at top 10. Okay. I'll remember that. Will you guys remember at top 10? So tonight, what am I covering? All the other dynasties, we've just done top 10s. We've circled back out. The outfield is huge. And depending on your dynasty league, you've got left, right, and center field to cover. I play in three of those dynasty leagues. And it's adding layers to it. And a lot of the others are five outfielder leagues, but it's just outfield. And then you do have the standard three outfielder spots. So tonight, I'm not going to cover 10. I'm not going to cover 15, 20, or 25. I'm going to give 30 outfield options, but I'm going to stick to calling them outfielders. We're not going to go left, right, center. Check your league settings. Check how it works. When you go over... when you have the turnover from the previous year. Some leagues, you need to do, 20 games to get next season eligibility. We're not going to play that game. I'm not going to do that to you. What I am going to do is just tell you, here are 30 outfielders that I think you can bank on between the years 2025 and end of season 2028 to be consistent producers, MLB producers. This is not the prospect show that I do with Ben and Govier and guests at times. And I welcome you all who are listening to go to our YouTube, if you're currently listening, not watching, and subscribe to it. We are just over 1,000. We're very thankful for that. And we want to keep it going and keep it growing. Monetize, baby. I've decided I'm going to take my cut, do that thing I keep seeing, go to Turkey, get a hair transplant, you know, really grow it back out like I had it in my early 20s. Those were the days, baby. Anyway, that aside, let's just dive right into this bad boy. We are almost 2 minutes and 45 seconds in for the first timestamp, and I'm going to give you right now my 30 through 20 ranks. On this list, I'm going to say right away, making you hold your breath as to when are the names coming, Robbie. This is fascinating for me to look at this. I mean, we've got guys, let me just have a quick look before I say them out loud. We've got guys on this list who make a lot of sense. And, you know, you could argue, we will argue. Well, we won't argue, but you can find me. You can put it down in the comments. I think so-and-so should be higher. And I may agree with you on that one. I think that there's a lot of returning type growth players in this. There's a lot of guys who are on bad teams. There's, the hyped guys who have been kind of forgotten. And then the reclamation projects that have been successful. Just checking it out here. 20, 21, 22, 23, Oh, they're all fun names. Okay, I'll get to them. I'll get to them. Number 30 for me, not ever dead off the heap, highly thought of college drafted player, J.J. Bladé, formerly of Oakland. Now he's an A, baby. I think things came together last year for him in Oakland. I think he's going to be able to stick around as a useful contributor. We have strikeout concerns. So if you're in a points league where they're taking them away, or just a league where they count strikeouts, take that into consideration within this. But at the 30 spot, I'm saying of your, you know, starting outfielder, your lead guy in a 30-team league, if Bladé is your best outfielder, you could do worse. That's what I'm going to say. And you're going to see a lot of names after I tell you the top 30. You're going to say, well, I put him ahead. Well, of course, that's your logic to it. This is my logic to it. And this is what we're going off now, because I got the microphone, baby. Anyway, 29, I've got White Sox for now, Luis Robert Jr. I honestly would like to be able to talk a little bit more to him, but the Sox were so bad last year, they can't be worse. I mean, allegedly. But they're not going out and giving us a whole bunch of supporting options in this lineup. A trade would be great to see, you know, Robert move somewhere. I don't know where he's going to move to, but Luis Robert Jr. at 29 for me. I do have a Govier polarizing guy here next. 28, Breton Doyle with the Rockies. I would love to say, you know, you're going to see Nolan Jones 20 spots high or something. That did not happen last year. For Dynasty, he took a massive value step back. For redraft, I believe he just went post 200. I'm not sure. I haven't looked on NFBC and other sites yet. I haven't checked the, you know, conglomerate sites, not conglomerate sites, sorry. The word when you put a bunch of things together and then you put it on a website and you call it your information, you know, what Fantasy Pros does. I haven't done that yet. So I didn't want to reference any of that when I'm doing my own rankings, but I welcome you all to take my rankings and put it up against the others, and also just include it when you're making your own averages. And that's what Fantasy Pros does. They make averages of various lists, whether it's websites, people, whatever. I don't know. I don't look, because I want to make my own untainted by their rankings. But we will go over a few later tonight, a few of those rankings. I've got at number 27, lost to the Pirates, Brian Reynolds. There's hope all around him. Even a guy that I think a lot of people are very high on, that should be, you know, an outfield teammate here of his. But I don't know. I don't see excellent lineup management for the Pirates. I don't see tons of runs happening. It's just there's inning enders on that team, and there's non-power hitters. So I just don't know how we're going to get runs and RBIs up the wazoo from Reynolds consistently. And they had the talk about what they were going to do as far as rebuilding, resetting that lineup a few years back. It looks like they've been trying, and it just hasn't all clicked with all the guys. So Reynolds is suffering from better player if he's on a better team syndrome. So 26, I've got Seattle's newest power bat, Randy Arozarena. I'm finally learning his name. I do remember calling him out as rookie of the year. I believe it was 2021. So I still have that in my back pocket. He was like one of my favorite prospects post that St. Louis trade. Now he's in Seattle. He's in an excellent section of the lineup, but we don't know what Seattle's lineup's going to be 1 through 9. And I think if he leaves Seattle, he could be in for a really solid next few seasons leading through 2028, when he'll be in his early 30s at that point in time. I believe he'll be playing the bulk of this year at 29, might turn 30. I don't know that this is going to be the year that, you know, he's going to really maintain previous dominance. We've seen him, you know, up and down a little bit. One of the things he struggled with is not something the next guy's struggling with, and that's average. Stephen Kwan is my number 25 with the Guardians. I know it's not a sexy pick, but his average, elite level average contact bat, stolen bases as well, the potential for high runs at the top of the lineup with the Guardians, when he's there, you know, put him, move him around. You got J-Rodimo. You got Ramirez there. You got other guys that could be up this year. A push at the second base position for playing time could be a fun thing. Brian Rocchio settling in as the everyday shortstop. Maybe he'll be a little bit more of the bat I was hoping for a year ago. But he's a slow play, and Kwan isn't. Kwan's a steady Eddie, and he will help you. He allows you to put really streaky bats like Arozarena in your lineup, because when he's dipping, sorry, when the others are dipping, he isn't. He's going to get it done for you. And the next guy up is an excellent fantasy teammate, but he's a Texas Ranger, and that's Adolis Garcia. I've got a 24. Garcia is, you know, captain bounce back candidate number one here. He's got power, he's got OPS, and he's got average bounce back potential. It did not come together in Texas. If he becomes that DH guy, if Texas is doing the youth movement, then Garcia might be on his way out. But teams generally don't want to do that to a veteran guy, not for respect or any of that kind of crap, because he's in the budget. And he's in the budget on a team that's supposed to win. So I think we could see Garcia stick around and make some good things happen. At 23, I've got former Blue Jay Teoscar Hernandez, former Astro once upon a time as well. He's back in Dodger Blue. I expect more of the same from Teo, and we all should too. It's just going to be fun. You can't say enough about a loaded lineup. He adds to that, and him going there instead of returning to Toronto really kind of changed my long-term outlook on what the Blue Jays were going to become, which leads me into my number 22 guy, Anthony Santander. I don't know why we can't just call him Santander, but we can't. We enunciate. So Santander, who'll be playing this year at 29 with the Blue Jays. He signed some sort of backloaded, fun, exciting deal. Issue is beyond 2025. We know Vlad's going to the Yankees or the Rockies. Oh my God. Well, can they sign? Okay. Another show for that with the Rockies. Santander, we know he's got the potential for 80 runs. If the lineup is good around him, absolutely 80 RBIs. That puts him in some good upper echelon outfield company right there. 20 plus home run power, call it 25. Say he, you know, gets on a heater and is up upper 20s into 30. Great too. We're not seeing, you know, stolen bases galore. OBP, okay. What I want to say here is that Santander is in a really bad spot if Toronto dumps out again. He's going to be right back where he was when he was in his early days with the Orioles, which is a team that's trying to sort themselves out. The problem is the Blue Jays don't have a farm system that's going to feed the MLB system with hyped prospects or likely successful players. This doesn't mean the guys aren't going to come up and get it done. They could be a surprise team, but that's really hard to do. And they just don't have the guys down there right now. So I think Santander is a really interesting one. At 22, I love the potential for production, obviously. And I do think his age is going to benefit him, but Teoscar Hernandez could, you know, in the next 2 years could really pull away if next year, you know, Vlad's gone, Bo's gone. Ernie Clement still their third baseman? Like if Orvelas Martinez is not able to come up and be an effective power hitter so that you can't pitch around Santander, that you can't pitch around Vlad, that you can't pitch, you know, they need those guys. Alejandro Kirk is somebody that we heard about in the catcher dynasty. I think he should be back this year, or not back. He should be back to being the kind of guy you got to be careful with. So the Blue Jay lineup could look really good, and he could have a really good 25. Depending on what they do this offseason, he might be an excellent sell candidate if and when the news comes out that Vlad signs wherever and Bo does, you know, as well. Bo goes off somewhere. I don't know that they're going to keep either. It would be kind of a bad thing to keep your shortstop for I don't know how much he would get and what kind of year he's going to have, but to keep him to try to sell jerseys. You've sold all the Vlad jerseys you're selling. You've sold all the Bo jerseys you're selling. Time to get some new blood in for that marketing push that is Major League Baseball. Right, everybody? That's what we love about baseball. Selling us merch. Anyway, number 21, I've got the Martian. J-Dog, as I'm going to also make, is no one's going to take that. Jason Dominguez, 21-year-old with the Yankees. He's up, finally. This is a J2 guy that was hyped, top of prospects list, and then did that like we've seen you before. Oh, my gosh, you're not impeccable, whatever. He's up now, guys. He's going to be a really good major leaguer, too. He's got Aaron Judge, who was a highly drafted top-flight prospect who, you know, up and down within the levels, right? Every time he was promoted, he struggled. The next year, he dominated the level, did the same thing in MLB. Came up, struggled a little bit in his debut season, then his first full rookie season, elite. And we've seen, you know, some injuries and whatever, but Judge is just excellent. He's in right field. You got Bellinger now there. Now, whether this is for a short-term or a long-term thing, we will find out. But Bellinger, top flight prospect, came up, did great things, MVP, right? Rookie of the year, I believe, as well, MVP. And then kind of fell off a dynasty cliff. And we'll get to where he is on the list here. He hasn't been mentioned yet. But he's really stabilized himself, and he's got a lot that he, as well as Judge, can teach to a guy like Jason Dominguez about being a pro, which goes down in the end to the stat line that we care about in fantasy. So I think Jason Dominguez is an elite company for what he is as a top flight prospect as well, with two other former top flight guys who have since been, you know, the best players in baseball for periods of time. And that is my 30 through 21. So we've got J.J. Bleda, Luis Robert Jr., Breton Doyle, Brian Reynolds, Randy Arozarena. Every time I say his name, I have to pause. Make sure I pronounce it properly. Stephen Kwan, Adolis Garcia, Teoscar Hernandez at 23, Anthony Santander, and Jason Dominguez at 21. So what's fun about that list? You've got everybody everywhere on that list except starting their career guy outside of Dominguez. Some of the guys are older and have just had their first good year. I shouldn't say some, Bleda. But we move into the rest of that group. It's a bunch of veterans that kind of have something to show us, which is why they weren't pushing into the teens. The next group is as fun and exciting, and they have everything in it. So here we go. I won't make you wait anymore. I mean, we're only 15 minutes into this bad boy, but we are now at 20 through 11 here. Number 20, Dylan Cruz. You love him. You love him. Now, tell me this, everybody. Are you not ready for this outfield of Woods, Cruz, and Alex Call? There's that other guy, Young, I think. But anyway, I really like Alex Call, and maybe he'll get mentioned in the – he's a top 19 guy. Maybe we'll find out. But Dylan Cruz, we know you want to call him like a tool shed guy. You want to do – I don't know that I like that term. Tool shed. You're calling the guy a shed because he's got all these potential things. But Dylan Cruz does. And he's young and he's going to play. And that's exactly what the Nationals need. We're going to call them the upstart team of the year, who'll probably win 70 to 75 games. But it's going to be learning baseball. And Dylan Cruz should be at the forefront of that. Hopefully he's not a streak guy. Hopefully he, you know, has slow improvements, pitchers adjust, and there's a little bit of a plateau for him, and then he can get a little bit better. It's tough when you see, and I'm using visuals here if you're watching on YouTube, so this is the time to click back over and take a look. He's going to be good, which is my hand going up, and then he's going to hopefully level off. The thing you don't want to see is you don't want to see the guy starting well, and then all of a sudden he starts to see off-speed pitches. That fastball diet dries up and he struggles. We don't want to see that. So you see the metric I just did there. That's how you produce, baby. Anyway, number 19, Cody Bellinger. I did just mention him. I remember when he was done for in Dynasty, and now with the Yankees, he could potentially settle in as a legit long-term producer. It could be the best of both worlds for him. Future, maybe first baseman, like he could return there if someone comes up as the legitimate center fielder with maybe more of a defense first approach, and first base with Goldschmidt gone in, you know, whatever amount of time that happens if he re-signs. You know, Rizzo kicked around a few years. Maybe Bellinger could stick with the Yankees too and long-term end up at first base. It's an excellent situation regardless for him for the lineup. Number 18, former best player in baseball, Mike Trout, still with the Angels. I'll say number 17 and circle back to 18. Okay, I've got Christian Yelich at 17th with Milwaukee. Both of these 32-year-olds have the same kind of report from me. I picked both of them up in one of my dynasty leagues this offseason, both in outfield eligible leagues, not left, right, center, as I mentioned off the hop. Healthy Yelly is great. Healthy Trout is elite. If both Yelly and Trout are around 450 at-bats on average over the next 4 years, which, to be clear, is a full 100 plus lower than we would like them both to be. So if their average is 450, they're going to be right in the teens for production. They're so good when they're healthy. It's if they're playing hurt, if they're playing in crappy lineups, which has been Trout's thing, it has still, like, I mean, he had Ohtani for years, but he's still been able to produce. So if the Angels are legitimately improving, if Trout's move to right field from center and potentially more DH time pays off, we could see those 450 yearly averages. And I would love to see it higher, but I'm trying to be really realistic with it. Because if he's getting 550 at-bats or more, he's just going to produce more. That's what he's going to do. And if the Angels are good, you know he is going to be doing everything he can, stealing bases, making a single into a double, taking the first to third more often. He's going to be that aggressor to really run up the runs to get some more RBIs. He'll do a sack fly if he has to, get you an RBI. You know, Yelich is a similar player, and they're grouped together for me as two guys who have both been elite and who could be again. But realistically speaking, if at 450 at-bats, I see the production I expect, they're right there in the mid-upper teens for production over the next 4 years. Next one up, you could call this my biggest risk, but I think there are guys I've ranked higher that I like less. That's Lawrence Butler with the A's. Very much like Blade, you know, got it together last year. Now, Butler was up and down with no real MLB success until last year, and I can see him going either way. He could become a young as Arena. See how I paused and then screwed it up? I just can't do Randy. Should I just call him Randy A? If you have a suggestion, put it down in the comments on the YouTube, or find me at our Discord, the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. And you can tell me, just call him this. You know, when they did the Players Weekend a couple years ago and they put the nicknames on the back, what was his? I don't know. I would like to refer to him as that and everyone to understand who I'm saying, so I stop tripping over it. Anyway, he could become like Randy A. This is Lawrence Butler I'm talking about. Or he could be Will Benson of the Reds, who had a really good first taste. Butler was not a full season. He was most of the year. And Will Benson was the exact same thing the year prior. And then Benson struggled so much, demoted. I don't know where his opening day status is right now. He could be the 5th, 6th outfielder in Cincinnati. And I don't want that for Butler with the A's. I think the power speed is super legitimate with him. Again, it's about not striking out too much, having that patient approach. And when you get to 2 strikeouts, I mean, I say it a lot about some real peripheral players, as Butler was prior to last year, they really need to understand a 2-strike approach. Now, I'm not a professional baseball player, of course. You know, I'm just a regular Joe, just living life. But I understand that when you're about to screw something up, like get out on base or turn a puck over in hockey or burn something in a kitchen, as I am a chef, you make an adjustment and you don't continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. So I'm hoping Lawrence Butler will have that smart 2-strike approach to maybe increase the OBP when he's got 2 strikeouts and just reduce strikeouts in general. So we'll see, but that's where I am with him. I also have a shot in the dark here at 15. That's James Woods with Washington. 2nd Washington National on the list. Will Alex Call be in my top 14? We'll find out. But James Wood, you know, I said it all before with Cruz. Wood is in the same position, came over from San Diego in that minor league deal for the Sato, I think it was Sato, Yan Sato, I think that was the name. Yeah, came over in that deal, and it's going to be good. Robert Hassel III is also a national kicking around who could be sort of like a 5th, 6th outfielder this year. We'll see if they push him up. I can't imagine he's going to knock Call off a bench role. And I'm not saying that because I think Call is like an elite player. I'm saying it because I think you would put Hassel back in AAA for everyday at bats. Call would be the guy who sits on the bench. Wood will play. Cruz will play. And then if there's an injury where, you know, Cruz or Wood is out, you would then bring Hassel up and Call would continue to be a bench guy. So I'm really hopeful for Woods. He's 21. I believe he'll turn 22 in season this year. Very young, lots of room to grow on the dynasty depth chart, but we're not talking rest of career rankings. This is next 4 years expected MLB production. And I know, I guess I have said it off the top with a lot of them, you know, I've tried to do points because a few people have said, hey, like, you know, I don't really see points leagues list. So when we have a guest on, I might take head to head and, or I'll take a points approach. This one, I'm just taking classic 5x5, you know, so you got runs, RBIs. Let me make sure I get my hand in the picture here because everybody likes my hands. Not in that way. Yeah, runs, RBIs, average, stolen bases, and there's another category. You know that one? What did I say? Runs, RBIs, stolen bases. There. Okay. So we got those. And I think we could get good things from him. The other guy that's on that young side too, Wyatt Langford in Texas. Same things going on here where he got up last year. It was pretty early. It was interesting with the injury as well. I believe it was last year. Yeah, he had the injury, missed the time. We'll see what a full season does for him, which goes right in line with my number 13 guy, Michael Harris with Atlanta. I want Harris in the top five, but, I put this note on him. Are you guys ready for this note? I want Harris in the top five, but he's yet to complete that tool shed of talent with MLB stats. I brought up the tool shed thing. I even air quoted it. I wrote in my notes as tool shed because I passive aggressive towards that line or that wording. He was an above average player in 24, but the Braves weren't the dynamic team we thought they'd be. And at only age 23, turning 24, there's a decade of potential to hope on. So I would love to have Michael Harris higher. I did a couple years ago when I thought like he was next stepping like Julio, same deal. And then I don't remember if it was injury for him or just a really down year, but he's young enough and Atlanta keeps having these guys, you know, Ozzie Albies has done it at times, missed chunks, Acuna as well, where the heart of their lineup gets torn up a bit and Harris hasn't been the guy who stabilized it. Hopefully that can, moving forward, Austin Riley can be one of those guys too, where they stabilize that like 1 through 5 up to 1 through 6 for them. And we'll just see. So, and anyway, my number 12, the guy I like the least on this list, Jarren Duran with Boston. Okay. Why, Rob? Why? He had an excellent season. There's that whole thing of him getting booed and then being an all-star, that video that they put out of him. If you haven't seen it, I don't know, go find it. But I'm not in as others on Duran because we've seen Boston have players with pockets of success before, especially in the outfield. We saw it with Benny, and then we saw it from that guy who came over in the Betts deal, Verdugo. And Verdugo is currently a free agent, and we are getting close to opening day. He had a couple years with Boston post-trade where everybody was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is the guy we got back. And he was good, but it didn't last. It hasn't been career long for him. I'm not saying that's what's happening with Jarren Duran. I'm fearful that it could be a all-star season as we've seen. I'm going to go with a fun Canadian name. We've seen once with Michael Saunders, who people liked and thought more could be done with him. He had 2/3 of a really good year with the Blue Jays. And then some sort of injury, I think, and then really struggled down the stretch and was never able to get back again. Duran, I don't want that to happen with, but I've ranked him further back because I'm just not sure he's a legitimate year-over-year top-flight producer. I've seen him in top 10 lists after I finished mine and did some exploring. We'll see if maybe he's on one of the other lists in the top 10 too. And the final guy, and this is going to upset some people, and I'm not doing it to upset anybody because I'd like to remind everyone that I picked up this player, an international signing from Milwaukee. I picked him up when no one knew who he was because I was like free time on my hands looking at Milwaukee Brewers scouting reports and finding people who had eyes in the Dominican on players. And Jackson Churio came onto my my sheets, my lists. And all of a sudden I picked him up in Dynasty Leagues for nothing. And then he's been the guy who's really led the charge as far as like skipping complex league, going to A-ball, everybody loving him, not a big bonus baby. But after one MLB season, he is on the cusp of the top 10 dynasty outfield list. That is a hell of an accomplishment. No doubt he should bump inside next year if he avoids the dreaded sophomore slump. But we don't know, and we don't know how the pitchers are going to approach him within his division, let alone the league. So it could be a little bit of an adjustment as he started slow last year. But he's so damn good. I just don't know if we're going to get top flight production the first, you know, say 25, 26 to justify ranking him inside the top 10. Because the other names that you're going to hear shortly, they're big dogs too, right? And I think they could chew a little more, bark a little more, produce a little more. So that is my 20 through 11. So let's call me Robbie Recap. I started off with Dylan Cruz to Cody Bellinger to Trout to Yelich to Lawrence Butler to James Wood to Wyatt Langford to Michael Harris the second to Jarren Duran and finally Jackson Churio at 11. So we are due for the top 10 after, and I'm going to try to find something to play because it's fun and exciting, after this ad.
From Alvin and the Chipmunks, you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Boronto Podcast. Two L's, two
Z's. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of first-class SaaS, ladies and gentlemen, Fernando Tatis Jr. is number 10 in my rankings. Jumping right into it, last season was a disappointment, right? Do we agree with that? He has missed time for everything. I know he's not the stud people expect. And as mentioned, he misses time for everything from suspensions for cheating, never forget, to motorcycle accidents. But over the course of 4 years, I think he's got the capability to produce at a top 10 level. And he is right there with Jackson Chourio, in my opinion. I gave the nod to Tatis simply because I think people would be upset if I didn't. Also, I just think he's in a position to produce more consistently. Chourio, up and down potential for this year. I don't think that's in the cards for Tatis. I certainly want him to be better and get 550 at-bats. But San Diego is in a fun spot with their lineup where they are studs and duds, but a lot of studs. And I think it's going to be a good run RBI producing lineup for Tatis. Number 9, I mean, I'm stuck with him, ladies and gentlemen. This ranking hurts to put him there. Ronald Acuna Jr. is number 9 for me. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what happens when he returns. We don't know if he's going to still steal a million bases. I got it. I understand. There could be a year where he's down for power. There could be a renaissance of, 40-40 for him. We just don't know. But he's so talented, it would be incorrect to not have him in a top 10. Number 8, Corbin Carroll with Arizona. I find Arizona to be fascinating. They seem like they've got every position almost on lockdown, and they've got some legitimate prospects, as Ben and I have talked about, with it during our Big Three Next Three. They've got big prospects as well that are in the system that could be pushing guys up. They also have peripheral type prospects who could come up and take time. But the whole point is that they've got guys who could produce. So if Carroll is doing well, if the others are doing well, Carroll can do even better. And I think that that plays into my next guy at number 7, who is my young man on this list, Jackson Merrill with San Diego, above Tatis. That's right. That's how you shade a teammate, as you rank them higher. I think Jackson Merrill was a surprise for a lot of people last year. I mean, we understand that San Diego's pushing guys, right? Leody, DeVries, J2 guy, they're pushing the catcher whose name is currently escaping me, Ethan Salas. Salas, obviously two down years, but highly touted, and it could take him 5-6 years like it did Luis Camposano to come up and really finally be part of that team. Jackson Merrill, no thank you. He's here. He's in. He's with us. It was him and Jacob Marse last year that were potentially going to be the guys, and Merrill stuck, and Marse is now a Marlin, and I think a minor leaguer for the Marlins. But Merrill is just so good, and I think San Diego could ask him to work on anything, and he would succeed in doing it, and that's going to make him just elite, and that's why he's 7. 6, completely different player profile. Yordan Alvarez with Houston. This is a power guy. Average is good. OBP. You can't not like him. He just, for some reason, I don't know. He's just not going to produce enough for me. I did talk about it a lot this offseason with Houston potentially cycling down with their overall lineup and production. But at the same time, we've talked prospects that are, you know, Cam Smith and others that are, is it Cam Smith? I think so. Something Smith. Let's just go with Cam Smith. Cam Smith, who came over from the Cubs, and others who are going to keep the good times rolling. And who did Smith get traded for? Well, Kyle Tucker. And Kyle Tucker is my number five. And I think I am the furthest back on Tucker. I think he is consistently like a top three, but we'll check two dynasty lists when we're all done this to see if I am right or if I am wrong. And Tucker's good with the Cubs, good with the Astros. He's going to be good with the Cubs. We're going to see what happens beyond, but he's 27, turning 28 this year. Good baseball player. I mean, come on, we're top five. None of these guys suck. It's splitting hairs. I don't know that we're going to see the total home run stolen base combo as well as runs RBIs being as high as the other four over the next 4 years. And that's it. The oldest person on this list is next up, and that's Mookie Betts, who's just 31 years old, but he has been around since the 90s, people. And he's with the Dodgers, and he plays shortstop, and he plays second base, and he can do it all. I believe he was mentioned in previous Dynasty episodes. I don't think he was cemented on lists, so he's my number four. And if you would like to say, well, he doesn't count, blah, 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 fair, then just say I did a top 29 and not a top 30 and count Betts out. If he is legitimately now an infielder, that's fascinating that the Dodgers did that. But I think he's just an excellent player in an excellent lineup, and all things are clicking for him. Number three and the top three here, I think you should all know who it's going to be. I'm partial to my number three guy. He is the only complete player in the top three. All cats, guys. Okay, Julio Rodriguez with Seattle. So you should know who one and two are. It's just a matter of where they are. Julio, all category potential for you. He's young enough to get the crown in the future for top dog outfielder. But his competition for his entire career is going to be stiff because you've heard all the other names that are in line right now, not to mention prospects that are going to break in. But I believe DePoto can put an effective lineup around him. I know a couple years ago, they were the team that struck out the most in Major League Baseball. They then went to address it with some more OBP guys, but they had Eugenio Suarez on that team during that time, and they missed his power, and they got Randy A. Oh, see, I did it again. I'm pausing on Azarina because I'm terrified. I don't understand what it is. It's like walk on a crack, break your mom's back on the sidewalk with me. You know, you look down, you avoid. Anyway, Britain gets what I'm saying, everybody. Julio could get you more stolen bases than Judge and Soto combined over the next 4 years. He could be in contention and match them with power. Judge obviously could hit the most. Well, maybe not obviously, but Judge could hit the most by a long shot with it. But Julio's the average, and OBP is where I'm, you know, as concerned. We need him to be a 280 plus guy. And let me very quickly just check on him. And while I do that, I'll tell you that Juan Soto is my number two, which means Aaron Judge is my number one. So why one over the other, right? Neither guy is a massive stolen base threat. Soto essentially doesn't steal at all. And let me just very quickly check, because I want to be accurate with you people here. I enjoy your company. Aaron Judge for stolen bases last year had 10. That's good. His career high is 16. If you want to say that's the difference, go for it. But it's not. It's home runs. You know, Judge just hits them, and he hits them all the time. And he's very good at baseball, and he's got an excellent average. Last year was career best 322, but 22 was, where are we here, 311, and then he had the like massive dip 267 in an injury shortened 2023. So Judge is just the guy, right? Soto's excellent, of course. If you're in OBP leagues, you're going to want to, you know, lean to Soto. If you're in points leagues, it's really a toss up depending on the league structure. You know, 5 points for a home run versus seven is going to make a big difference. You know, Soto had 41 dingers last year. That's his career high, but the previous year he had 35. And that could be the way he's going, as a mid 30s home run guy, and less than 10 stolen bases is what you got to bank on. So for his career, he has had 12 stolen bases twice, 2019 and 2023. It is not a safe bet to say he's going to start to steal more bases. It's a safe bet that he would steal exactly what he has done, which is typically seven, somewhere in that range. It's a little difference, but Judge overall gets it done. Now, Julio, who I think, again, is the most interesting of these guys, and I was supposed to pull his stat line up to tell you all about him. He is the one that I think could make, you know, the most hay here, because he's got home run potential to be in the 30s, where we could call Judge and Soto upper 30s. He could be lower 30s. That's right now at age 23, turning 24. The batting average in the 270s. We need to get back to that two mid 80s, 284 he had in his rookie year. And then strikeouts. We want to see the strikeouts continue to come down. They were a tick down from last year, but we'd like to see more OBP. 325 is good, but his walk total last year was 38 in 567 at-bats. That's not what we want. We want to see almost double that, so that he is, you know, 12, 15% for walks would make Julio a top dog there. But that is it, guys. That is the top 30. Tatis, 10. Acuna, 9. Carroll, 8. Merrill, 7. Alvarez, 6. Tucker, 5. Betts, 4. Julio, 3. Soto, 2. And Judge, number 1. Now, who is upsetting you? Whose name did I not mention? Let me get to a few extras, as we're going to call them here, at minute 39 and 20 seconds. Okay, everybody, I'm whipping through this thing. I'm whipping through this like Spencer Strider will lineups. Okay, Riley Green is outside that list looking in on the young end. Jerkson Profar with Atlanta is on the outside looking in on the old end. Jung Ho Lee with San Francisco is on the outside looking in, because I just didn't see enough last year. Of course, he got a shoulder injury, and I am afraid that this year could not be his best foot forward, which might mean he's an incredible buy mid to late season, your trade deadline in your fantasy league, if he has exhibited no power because he hasn't fully recovered. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Seiya Suzuki, George Springer are all on the outside of the top 30 looking in. Springer the least likely, as he is aging out in a less than dynamic way. With Toronto, Ian Happ, Tyler O'Neill. Oh my goodness. Ty. Do you remember Tyler O'Neill? Oh, the love, right? Former Blue Jay. Was that right? No. Former Blue Jay? No. Just St. Louis Cardinals. I don't remember. I don't remember right now. He's with Baltimore now. So, but he's going to be a wily veteran on that club, and he's still, you know, under 30. But strikeouts, always a concern with him. I think it was Grichuk. That's who I was originally thinking. Tyler O'Neill is a guy that Ty loved from the Dinger days. Grichuk was the one he aggressively ranked, and then it didn't come together. Brandon Nimmo, still with the Mets. He's on the outside looking in. Jorge Soler, what's honestly, you know, what can we honestly expect? Parker Meadows as well with Detroit. Detroit, to Govier's fandom credit, has been putting things together in a fun way, where they've got some like good mix of guys that kicked around long enough as young guys struggling with Detroit that they're now veteran-y type players. And then they've got some guys on the cusp or just into their major league team now, as well as the Max Clark young guys that are going to come up. It's looking good for the Tigers. Go Tigers. We also have Cedric Mullins on the outside. Lars Nootbaar with St. Louis. Don't forget about him. 2 years ago, he was a real hot topic. Last year, Jacob Young took over that hot topic thing, but he's on the outside because I'm not sure what we're going to see long-term here. Willier Abreu with Boston. He was a very popular dynasty pickup, under 20% rostered in 23 to the 24 offseason, and then scooped up everywhere, expected to be a starter, and it didn't take off big time for him. And then the last guy I'm going to mention is the backup catcher in Colorado, but also a potential outfielder fill-in guy, because, you know, they're going to have strikeout issues with the Rockies. They're going to have injuries as the year goes on. Hunter Goodman, who is outside my top 50, could become a very interesting outfielder. He's also, like I said, a potential catcher, but he's an interesting name too. You got some questions for me? Hey, yo, Robbie, who's got like a year left of production? Who should I be looking at early in the season? Go look at Tommy Pham, because I mentioned him earlier. Now, who did I not mention that is the highfalutin other pirate? Well, that's O'Neill Cruz, who's now an outfielder, but We talked about him in the shortstop episode, so I'm being disciplined and not bringing him up here. But Tommy Pham, the 36, 37-year-old, has a year left in him, folks. And I think it could be a productive one, because if it's not coming together with Pittsburgh, I think they'll move him to somewhere that maybe he can try to win that ship with, just like we all want to in fantasy. So Tommy Pham's an interesting one to go for. A couple of other things. Are they for real with two players here? Helio Ramos with San Francisco and Colton Cowser. Are they for real? Now, Cowser, he's on my list as the second of the trio here, but I want to make sure I'm not messing this up here. The third guy is, of course, Victor Robles, and I have seen him all over lists. He's like a top 25 guy on one list. He's been outside the top 75 as like a, you're not tricking me into it. But yeah, Colton Cowser last year was absolutely solid. He had 499 at bats, 24 home runs, 9 stolen bases, a .242 average, .321 OBP, perfect under the radar guy. Is he for real? I think what we saw is what is likely to continue, which will be like Ryan Mountcastle, where everybody wants a little more than he can reasonably offer. If he sells out for power, I can't have it affect the average, because he can't really dip down much lower and still be in an effective starter role for you in Dynasty, because he's going to have times where you're just not getting enough done. Now, he could be a run RBI machine, because he should be a 4-5-6 type guy, but if with Baltimore, I can check quickly here with Roster Resource, who does their best to try to be accurate here for where these guys are going to be in the lineup. If he is a bottom third of the lineup, that's not going to go well for him. Right now, Cowser's looking at like he's slotting in 4-5-6 around Westberg and O'Neill, which could be good. O'Neill and O'Hearn could be behind you. Mountcastle's now slipped into that final thing, and then we can all put up a coin toss for what's going to happen with Jackson Holliday this year. Really hoping that it goes well for him. But yeah, Cowser is an interesting. Helio Ramos, I think, yeah, he's for real. He's going to be fine. He's not going to be a multi-time fantasy all-star, but I think he's going to be a good, you know, works within his ballpark parameters. And Victor Robles, who's with Seattle, he is really important to Julio this year. If Robles can be, you know, terrorizing base paths, if he can be moving it around, he will be an asset. If he falls back on his face as he did with his Nationals days, it's going to just spell disaster. And I'm not sure where to go with him. So I've stayed away in Dynasty. He's gone for a lot in my salary leagues, where you auction players, you know, for their salaries. Some other guys to mention here. Christian Campbell was discussed in another position, so he's not being brought up. Sedeña Rafaela was also brought up with shortstop with Boston, and I did get into Boston's whole crowded thing. Now, yes, he is an outfielder, but he was just brought up in that conversation, and he's outside my top 30 regardless. Jazz Chisholm Jr., infielder now, and it looks like he's, you know, third base, second base, so outfield won't be eligibility for next year, which of course will affect the Dynasty ranking. I did mention O'Neill Cruz. Spencer Steer, we talked about in the third base Dynasty. We do have all the Dynasty's podcasts available, videos available, so I think it's under part of our channel and playlists. You can go and check that out. If not, you'll just have to scroll back through the videos and see my ugly mug, and it'll say Dynasty beside it, and click and listen to the other people and take what they say and enjoy that. The final guy here that I didn't want to get into, because he's multi-position eligible and he's burned me before, is Dylan Moore, still kicking around with Seattle and in Dynasty leagues this offseason. I don't know what he was doing on yours, but in mine, he was moving. He was either getting signed for more than I think was fair, or he was getting traded for more than I thought was fair. And I guess it's just a position of need for Seattle and for Dynasty GMs out there. They just want to have him. Somebody else that's really interesting is Leody Taveras, who with Texas will be 26 this year. He's been good, but I think he's been ranked too high in a few places, because I think he's the fourth outfielder now with the Rangers. So I've seen him as high as 31, which means he would be a second outfielder in most formats. That's high. Yikes, that's high. Another guy that I think I'm confused at is Pete Crow Armstrong. You know, I know a few people who really like him. I know a few people who think there's concerns. He wasn't able to fit in for me in the top 30. Same with Josh Lowe with Tampa Bay. Couldn't do it for him. So here's a group of guys I've got this question for, and I'm going to answer. What can we expect? Hey, Rob, what can we expect from Evan Carter with the Rangers? Well, he goes to the Leody Tavares conversation. I don't know, man. I don't know if they're going to say, you know, go to AAA and we're sorry that we did this to you in, you know, our World Series year. And Ben mentioned on a recent Big Three, Next Three, an Atlanta Brave from 20 some years ago that was drafted to hop into their bullpen. And he did. And he had the World Series run and then some time the next year and was never the same player again. Evan Carter's not going to have that happen. He's should be their center fielder this year. Like it's, I'm looking now, it should be Garcia in right, Carter in center, and Langford in left. And then your bench, of course, Josh Smith could be there, but Pillar and Tavares, horrible combination for Tavares, because Pillar will literally run into a wall to, you know, get an out for you. So Tavares is going to have to be really successful at the dish, which is something Pillar is very streaky at. And Carter should settle in the back third of that lineup and hopefully be able to move up and be successful long term. Of course, we want him to do his best and slow play Carter, not the superstar that he was once thought to potentially be. Nolan Jones, I brought him up, everybody. I talked about it before, thinking, you know, a year ago, this was somebody on the rise. Obviously, he played hurt when he did play last year, and he missed time with injury. The spring did not start hot for him, but all of Colorado was, I think, just working on strikeouts early in camp, and then they were going to build up into contact, and ideally walks, runs, you know, home runs, RBIs. So Nolan Jones, slow play this year, dynasty value got shot. See how he's kicking mid-May. If he's hitting around 250 or so, if he's got, you know, 4 to 6 home runs, if he's stolen 3 bags, I think he's going to have a really good summer. If he's, you know, Mendoza line again, if he's struggling for contact, if we're not seeing him take walks, it's going the other way. And I would look to maybe try to trade him and suffer the consequences of a hot summer. But I can't see him turning on a dime, because he has not, in my experience, been an adjustment away. He has been a slow burn improvement guy. In his time with Cleveland, it was supposed to come together quicker than it did. And of course, he was blocked by Ramirez. So that was when he was a third baseman. They moved him to Colorado. He could be a third baseman there. Oh, he's maybe blocked by McMahon, whatever. Move him to the outfield. Things seem to click. Injuries. Moving on to the next guy, Byron Buxton in Minnesota. Well, you don't bring in a gold glove center fielder. Oh my God, what is his name? What is the name of the cocky guy that they brought in to cover for when Buxton gets hurt? It is on the tip of my tippy tip tongue. They brought in Harrison Bader. There it is. I knew the t-shirt. Remember that? Anyway, they brought him in to play outfield because at some point Buxton's going to get hurt, but Buxton's the guy until he is. And, you know, top third of the lineup, we know what he can be. It's not worth it in dynasty, honestly, unless you have two other absolute units in your outfield. You can take a shot with Buxton, but then you legitimately need a Harrison Bader so that when Buxton's out, you just plug in the guy who will get the at-bats. It's hard to just get two peripheral guys. It's good to get an injury guy and a bench guy who would take over for that starter if he gets injured, rather than just having, like, say, I'll go back to Alex Call, rather than having Alex Call on your bench and Washington's bench. And when your starter gets hurt, you think it's a good time. You know, let's understand that we can't put those guys in. You need, sometimes in dynasty, you need to get both players from the same organization. So Ramon Urias with Baltimore and Kobe Mayo would kind of go together, because one of them's going to be playing and one of them's going to be on the bench. And right now Mayo will be in AAA, but I'm speaking maybe 4 months from now when we get into the stretch when Mayo should be up at third base. Ramon Urias would be the backup. If there's an injury, he might slot in. So anyway, Joe Adell with the Angels. Mickey Moniak can go into this too. One of them should become the starter at some point. Moniak defensively, Adell could have that upside. I don't know, but I don't want to roster them. Jordan Walker, similar position with St. Louis. Man, we'll see, right? We'll see. Lars Nootbaar was able to kind of get it back together. Maybe Walker can do the same thing. We just all need to forget about him and not give that high spot on our ranking sheet and just let him be a player. And he'll be good. He's young. I think he'll be 22 this year. And then Miguel Vargas now with the White Sox. Looks like he's not going to be outfield. It'll be corner infield. But the White Sox are just so fascinating. Very much like Jared Kelnick, right? We want to see things come together for Vargas. Kelnick, some people just don't like. He's with Atlanta, bench role, left field. We'll see what goes on with him. And then anyone else, Varsho with Toronto is interesting, but ever since losing that catcher eligibility, he's just not a major asset. Hessen Kjerstad with Baltimore could be really interesting this year, where he goes. Reese Hines with Cincinnati is kind of a dart throw as far as we don't know what he's going to do and how good he's going to do it. Jose Siri with the Mets as their starting center fielder. Tyron Taylor's the backup there, and he's a streaky power guy. Not power like 30 home runs, but he seems to hit home runs when he's in at times. Jose Siri is power stolen base, no average, high Ks. That's not great. Starling Marte, you know, fell off a cliff. Starling Marte with the Mets as well. And then I'll end it on this one because I got to stop at some point. Michael Conforto with the Dodgers. He's in a loaded lineup. I don't know what to expect. I'm going to assume, and I'll check to be sure, but I'm going to assume he is in like the 8-9 spot with the Dodgers because they do have a good offensive catcher in Will Smith. So they're just not needing him up there. Conforto looks like was set batted seventh. Batting seventh with Edmund and Ande Pajes behind him. So Conforto has a really interesting dynasty position. People want him. He's on the Dodgers, which is a good team. Should have auto runs and RBIs, you know, above 65. If he's playing every day, should be above 75. What's going to happen beyond that? I don't know, guys. I don't know. But that is dynasty outfield. Top 30 I gave you. I talked for 54 plus minutes. You can tell I don't have friends because this didn't really bother me. I hope it entertained you, though. And I hope you will go and check out the rest of the Palazzo family of podcasts. We do, I believe, 3 lives a week. We have a prospect one that can run early in the week, Monday to Wednesday. Depends on how life works for us prospect boys. Then Friday, the boys lock it in. Mike VA, Britton, and Mike Govier. And then there's a Sunday show, which is fun and exciting and good information for you out there. If you're trying to get ahead in Dynasty, you listen to everything. If you're trying to get ahead in redraft, you listen to everything. Because we're talking about guys and prospects that are coming up. If you're trying to get ahead within your redraft league, you listen to everything. You know what? Just listen to everything, guys. We're putting out that information, that content for you to make you better at the baseball. I thank you. Everyone on the team thanks you. This has been Outfield Dynasty Rankings.
Peace. The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.